Good morning. Welcome to Trinity Reformed Baptist Church, Jackson, Georgia. It's May 1st, 2016. Join us now as Pastor Brandon Smith continues our sermon series in the book of Ephesians.
If you'll turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4, and then we will begin, continuing our study through a letter to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it will be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. If you've walked into a bookstore lately, or whether it's used or a new bookstore, it's amazing to see all the topics of the different books that you can read in these different bookstores. And it's always interesting to me to walk not only to the religious section, but to notice there's so many different books that have been written on relationships, marriage, family, and even parenting. The world apparently has a lot to say about these topics. Now, all of those books seek to address every problem and all of its nuances and possibilities. But Paul does not attempt that in the letter to the church in Ephesus. He prescribes a simple command with biblical foundation. And it's given for the church, and yet it is useful for all of society. The subject is important in society, but it is of necessity in the church. Now think about society as we look and know it today. The thoughts of children, obey your parents. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, tells us that this is where the reprobate mind finds its place, is first in rebellion to parents. Even Paul to Timothy tells us that there are going to be grievous times, and part of those grievous times will be in the culture and society at large. Children will not obey their parents. They will be those who speak against their parents. I remember some years ago reading of a court case where a teenager sued his or her parents. I can't remember whether it was a young lady or a young man, but they sued their parents over the rules of the house and things that their parents had told them to do. That's an interesting culture to live in, isn't it? Children suing parents over rules of a house that the parents provide, clothes that the parents provide. Tells you a lot about our culture. Martin Lloyd-Jones says, in both instances, at a time of appalling godlessness, when the very foundations are shaking, one of the most striking manifestations of lawlessness is disobedience to parents. Who would have thought of it? We live in a culture where teenagers sue their parents. It brings us to a place to understand this is a world crisis. As far as society goes, it's a world crisis. Most delinquent children who end up being delinquents for most of their lives, you'll find that they were rebellious from the very start. Left in an unconverted state, this is who they are and what they did and what they continue to do. Lloyd-Jones, speaking of his own country of Britain, he says, the land is lost to captivity on which the whole future of this country may well depend. Have you thought about what just Paul's simple statement here, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. What that simple statement, although intended specifically for the church, and we will get there, it has had great impact on society as a whole. We live in a day and age where children often run the home. I mean, we can talk all we want to about husbands leading their homes, what the relationship between husband and wife, but we live in a day and age where many children run their homes. So Paul gives us a prescription here, first and foremost for the church, but it has great impact on society. Well, firstly, this morning, I want us to notice several things, but firstly, children are the subject of the command, and parents are the indirect object. Children are the subject of the command, and parents are the indirect object. What is commanded? Children, obey. That's the commandment. It's simple. Children, obey. Now, we need to note that Paul here makes this statement plainly. He's not giving us every nuance, every possibility. He's not writing from every relationship and every correspondence and every facet of parenting or children, their relationship to their parents. He just simply makes this statement. Children, obey. If you're a child here today, you need to obey. Young person, you need to obey. Paul's not leaving this up to your choice. Well, who must children obey? Their own parents. Paul says, children, obey your parents. First and foremost, you are to obey your parents, children, young people. That's the first place it starts. Now, it's given from an idea of authority is important. And even Paul, because he's restating the fifth commandment here in these verses, is telling us that the law is important. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 20. And he's giving an instance and an importance of what it means to obey. It's about authority. He even comes to a place here in Ephesians chapter 5 to tell us about subjection to one another. He reasons that out, and if he's done that, husbands are in subjection to God. Wives are in subjection to God. Wives, you must subject yourselves to your own husbands. Well, it's very similar here. He says, children, obey your parents. Now, that doesn't mean that other adult figures can't give advice and can't even say, don't do that or stop that. But the first and foremost place that children need to learn obedience is to their own parents. If they don't learn obedience to their own parents, they're not going to learn to obey anyone else, and they're not going to learn the importance of authority. And so one day when they're in society, they won't think anything about authority. They won't care about policemen. They won't care about their employer, their boss. That authority won't matter. I'll do what I want to. Why? I treated my parents that way. What's it matter? Children, obey your parents. That's the first place to understand how to deal with authority is in the home. Children, obey your parents. Well, how must children obey? This tells us that this is specifically to the church. They obey in the Lord or as to the Lord. Now, they're not always converted children, are they? They're not covenant children. They're not converted children. They're sinful children. But they are to obey their parents in the Lord. Who's going to teach them how to obey in the Lord? Parents. Parents. This is why it's important not only to teach our children the law, which we read, but also to teach them the gospel. Paul is giving us this true, matter-of-fact understanding of parenting and the relationship between children and parents, is that children are to obey their parents in the Lord. And who's going to teach them that? Their parents. Some will often ask questions about, well, do I obey my parents in this or do I obey them in that? Well, we certainly know that Paul would not encourage a person to obey their parents if their parents are teaching them to sin against God. That's why he says, obey them in the Lord. Even if you're a child growing up with a parent or parents that are unconverted, you don't obey that parent if they're not teaching you in the Lord. Or to go against the Lord. But you do obey them, and you obey them in the Lord. Why must children obey their own parents in the Lord? Paul says, for this is right. It's right. Children, it's right. Anytime you think it's what you want to do to disobey your parents, you're doing what is not right. It is right to obey your parents in the Lord. That's your responsibility as children, as young people. The last question I have here is, when was the standard set for children? And is that the giving of God's law? Now, this had been God's law from the time of Adam, and then he formally gave it in the time of Moses. But this was always God's intent. When Adam and Eve had children, that children were to obey their parents. This is not something that Paul just came up with here and said, you know, this sounds pretty good. You know, as church people, we need to have this little rule set up where, you know, children will obey their parents. And I think things will work out pretty good in this Roman culture, because I'm only concerned about the Roman culture. No, this is Paul establishing a direct command based on the whole teaching of Scripture. Well, firstly, we said children are the subject of the command and parents are the indirect object. Secondly, this morning, although parents are indirect objects in the text, parents must teach the subjects. Parents must teach the subjects. Who are our subjects, parents? Our children. The text commands obedience from children, and they are not covenant children. They are born in sin. This is what Scripture teaches. Friday evening, upon returning home from my trip of being gone 7 or 8 days, walk into the house and there's different pictures all over the house of the kids at various ages and stages of life. And there's always this one picture. I went in and looked at this one picture of Frazier, this little curly-headed little boy sitting on my lawn tractor. And he looks nothing like that little boy then. Nothing at all. In that picture, he looks so sweet. So innocent. But what does the Scripture teach us? All are born in sin. Not just my children, not just your children, but every one of us has been born in sin. The only way we inherit the covenant is through Christ. Paul is not speaking to covenant children here. He's saying children. Holner gives this definition of that word translated for children: those who are still home as dependent children, yet old enough to understand themselves. There's a word for infant or baby in the original text, and there's also a word for children that are of some age that they can understand and they're still dependent in the home. That could age, that group could range from 3 all the way up to 18, 20, 21, 22, 23. If you're still living in your parents' house and they're still providing for you prominently, you need to give regard to your obedience to them in the home. It's their house. Those who are still home as dependent children, yet old enough to understand themselves. That's what Holner says. Edie had this interesting comment. I thought you would want to know this. He says, he does not speak about them or tell their parents of them, but he looks them in the face and tells them what to do. This is a direct command. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, Paul was not angry at them, but he was direct. And isn't that part of the problem today? We live in a world without directness, especially directness founded upon the Scripture. One case I heard about where a child was suing their parents. The child's case was built on the idea that her parents had offended her. Because they told you what to do, they offended you? Maybe they did say it in the wrong way. Maybe they could have said it in a better way. But it doesn't stop the command. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. We've already spoken briefly that not every nuance or possibility is addressed here. But the idea is so foundational that Calvin said, the one who has commanded you to honor your father and mother has given you such a father as you have. So obey, even if your father's not the best, even if he could do things better. What father in the room could raise his hand and say, I'm perfect, watch me? No father could do that. No mother could do that. It doesn't give a child the opportunity to say, well, you know, my dad's not all that great, so I just won't obey. My mother, she's not as sweet and nurturing as she could be. She offends me. There may be limits, but there are none found here in the text. Thomas Watson said, if they command against God, we must unchild ourselves. But you know, most of the problem today is not with parents commanding children to do things against God. Most of the problem today is that most parents aren't commanding their children to do anything. So we have to recognize something here. There's a problem with children, and there's a problem with parents. And it's sin, and it complicates everything, but it cancels nothing. Sin's the problem. It complicates everything, but sin cancels nothing. Sin is the wages. That is what we give to God, and the wages of our sin is death. In a way, it's almost sad to say, that we need to teach parents the importance of teaching and commanding and disciplining their children. If you're a parent here this morning in various stages of life, you need to be reminded that you are part of the equation. If there's something for children to obey in their own parents must be the ones who are teaching and disciplining them. And if you're not teaching and disciplining your children, you are aiding and abetting your children on their way to hell. But you know, there's something greater we must understand. As this is a natural discipline, let's say your children are never converted. Is all at fault and failure? If you were striving as parents to be godly and to command and discipline your children in the ways of the Lord, and your children were never converted, one of them or two of them or however many, is it all failure? Why no? Part of natural discipline is putting us in a place that we teach our children to be productive citizens in society. It's the church's responsibility to teach our children in such a way that even if they're never converted, that there's hope that they can become responsible citizens in society. Doesn't mean they will be. It doesn't mean they'll be perfect. The Proverbs isn't giving you promises that if you do certain things with your children, that automatically you can guarantee your children will be converted. It's giving you maxims, though. It's giving a way to have a natural discipline. It's even sad to think about, as Lloyd-Jones says, that natural discipline needs to be taught. He said, it is regrettable this even needs to be said. But that's the culture we live in. I don't want to say this for the purpose of being derogatory towards churches. But across our country and many churches across the world, people are not receiving the plain teaching of Scripture. They get a lot of emotional hype every week, but they do not receive the plain teaching of Scripture that puts them under God's commands. It teaches them of their need for the gospel. Parents, you need to teach your children in such a way, as Linsky says, so every child will understand. Every child. It's easy as a parent to become exasperated and lose our patience. I've been there. Not one of us is perfect. But some days we need to slow down and take a minute to look our child in the face and explain the rules, explain the issues to them face to face in such a way that they can understand. I remember growing up in my house, my parents were two different mindsets sometimes on discipline. My father's way of discipline was a long speech. I often called it, Article 1001. Dash A, verse 42, paragraph 33, it would just, and by the end of it, you were just thinking, I wish you would just spank me and get this over with. My mother was more of the stand behind, don't speak to them, just spank them. There may be a time for discipline in your home that you spank a child. But you need to make sure that you've explained carefully the command. You've been thoughtful about explaining those things to get it through in a way that your child can understand it. Then the discipline makes more sense. Then the discipline makes more sense. This is such a natural thought for Paul here that it really ends the why questions. He's not opening up a case here where we can sit down and say, well, why this or why that? Or our children can even say to us, well, why this or why that? We have a simple command on a solid biblical foundation. Scripture here, according to Edie, enjoins to natural claims. Most societies have figured out in the law of nature and the moral law being written upon the hearts of men that obedience by children is a good thing. Just as most cultures have figured out they don't like their stuff stolen. What culture goes, yes, steal my stuff all the time, we like that. Most cultures have figured out in natural order that obedience by children is a good thing. But yet we still have to speak it very carefully and thoughtfully. There's also a moral component here that we need to think through. And Paul says, as he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 2, honor your father and mother. And it's noted that this is the first commandment with a promise, speaking of the fifth commandment. And he quotes that, verse 3, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Here's a commandment with a promise. Children who obey their parents have a promise given to them. Now, it's not a genetic promise. It's not saying that your children won't deal with the genetics you've passed down to them. As we've learned, that's part of our being and basis is the genetics that's passed down to us. That's not part of His promise. If you obey your parents, you won't have the high cholesterol of all your forefathers. No, that's not it here. He's telling us something about the commandment and the idea of it and what takes place. Most of the time, children are getting commands from their parents, hopefully in a Christian context, about obedience to God, but also about things that will keep them away from problems or things that will hurt them. Now, we all understand there are times that children do learn the hard way. But just because children do learn the hard way sometimes doesn't mean that I, as a parent, can say, well, you know what? They're going to learn the hard way, so I just won't talk about that one. The example that I've heard before, rarely, but I have heard it. Well, just let them go ahead and touch the stovetop when it's hot. They'll learn from it. Okay, that's one way. But how about we teach our child, that's hot. That will burn you. It will hurt your hand. And talk to them about it. The other way will only eventually teach your children not to trust you. And therefore, they won't trust you about the gospel. But if you have given them the right commands and the right thoughts, even to keep things from harming them, they're going to be more likely, probable, to listen to you on the gospel. My parents, all the while, the things that they taught me were things to keep me from great problems and hurt and as much trial as they could. So why wouldn't I listen to them about the gospel? Not to teach your children about venomous snakes, only to have them play with venomous snakes, is not a helpful way to guide them. The better way is to teach them rightly, even in the ways of the Lord. This is a moral understanding here. It's from the law of God. It's not something that we can just say to ourselves, well, I don't know, I think I'll parent another way. No. If your children are to obey you, then what you must do is teach them. You must discipline them. The parent stands in God's place to the child, according to Edie. That's a good statement. The parent stands in God's place to the child. When children are born, they're born in sin. They're infantile. As they grow, it's your responsibility to teach them. Why? Because you stand in God's place to that child. Calvin said, in Him who is our Father, we should recognize something divine because he does not bear the divine title without cause. If God is called our Father, why would we not recognize the importance of a father to his children, of a mother to her children? We see the idea of children obeying parents wrapped up in the Godhead. God created us and gave commands to His first creation, His first human creation, Adam and Eve, and He told them what to do. And one of the major problems in the garden was apparently Adam didn't take the time, or if he did speak directly to Eve, he certainly didn't apply to Eve what he should have. God gave commands to His children. Why wouldn't parents give commands to theirs? And your hope is that you're not only teaching your children about these commands, but you're teaching them even about this promise, so that it may be well with you. Don't just teach your children about this idea of do what I say because I said so. Sometimes that needs to be said. Sometimes you're in a situation where you need to say, just obey. There is also a time to teach them of the promise that it may be well with you. I'm teaching you these things because it may be well with you. Young people, children, it may be well with you if you obey your parents, and that you may live long on the earth, to keep you from great trial and trouble. I think a good place to end this morning is to recognize, though, that not only is this natural and moral, but it's theological. Because Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And he does so establishing that on the law itself. In the Lord. It's important that you teach your children not to touch the stovetop when it's hot, or to play with venomous snakes. It's probably a good thing that you're teaching them that rattlesnake, don't play with it, it's not a pet. We had this discussion in our own house recently. I have a son who wants a scorpion for a pet. And I heard my wife saying, you don't understand the definition of a pet. Pet is something you can hold and touch and play with. Scorpions are not those things. But here it's not just about those commands. It's theological in nature. In the Lord. Are you teaching your children about the things of the Lord? Are you teaching them about God's law? Are you showing them that they're sinners? Are you showing them of who Christ is and their need for Christ as sinners? This is the command to the church. The world won't understand this part. We just like for the society to give some direction to children in general. But here Paul's command is so specific to the church and the Lord. Hodge put it this way, that our parenting, and this is his quote, informed and regulated by regard to Christ. It's informed by Christ and regulated by regard to Christ. It's one thing just to teach your children the commands and to teach them the law, but there's a question, are you teaching them the gospel? They're born sinners, they're not covenant children, they need the gospel. Before we go to the observations, I'll leave you with Lloyd-Jones' thought. There then you have the reasons for this, speaking of all that we've just read. And there is no more to be said. It is right. It is established by God's law. It pleases the Lord. That's a pretty simple way to sum it up. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. We'll leave you with three observations this morning. The command for children to obey is not up for debate. Paul isn't asking for discussion on the point. He didn't say, let's have a group discussion. Let's sit down and have a think tank. No, it's not up for debate. The gospel is important to our children, but for you and I as parents to recognize the importance of parenting our children, just think about Israel as a display in the Old Testament and how the judicial law was used among the covenant people in dealing with the cursing child against his parents. For a child to curse against his or her parents was a punishable offense, and it was the death penalty. You don't think God takes authority seriously? You don't think God takes parenting seriously? Then just look back at the Old Testament. And that's why for Paul, this is not up for debate. Now, thankfully, that's part of that judicial law, and Christ coming did abolish that judicial law, and we don't stone cursing children anymore. But it does not relieve us of the responsibility to teach our children in the Lord. And it does not relieve you, children, of your responsibility to obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. Number two, the responsibility of parents to teach and discipline children is not up for debate. If children are to obey, who will explain to them what to obey and how to obey it? With discipline administered upon failure to obey, it can only be the parents who take up this job. And thirdly, this obedience represents the topic of subjection to our God. This is really who we are as Christians, as people who have said, we are subject to the one God in three persons, the Blessed Trinity. There is no higher or greater authority on this earth but God Almighty. We will praise Him and glory in Him and all of what He has done. And where anyone else tells us to disobey Him, we will obey God rather than man. If you want to teach your children to be subject to God, you need to first teach them to obey you. And it gives you the road to preach to them about the gospel, to speak to them about the gospel. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word and Your commands. We pray by the power of Your Spirit that You will deal with us according to these truths, that we will walk in them rightly. We praise You for the work of Your Son Christ. As we come to the table, may we think rightly about our need for Him. It's in His name we pray. Amen.